I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. The repercussions of the war in Syria continue to reverberate around the globe. Today, a gunman killed the Russian ambassador to Turkey in the capital, Ankara. Ambassador Andrei Karlov was shot at close range while attending the opening of a photography show. His assassin reportedly yelled out, "Don't forget Aleppo. Don't forget Syria." Aleppo. As UN Ambassador Samantha Power pointed out last week, that city's name joins the ranks of Srebrenica and Rwanda as emblematic of evil. How else can you describe a scene in which citizens and aid workers cried out for help, tweeted their final farewells, perhaps their last words, as rebel resistance crumbled and as the government of Bashar al-Assad continued its bombing? Today, the rebel-held eastern part of Aleppo is emptying quickly under a surrender deal. How you feel about the situation there, some say, has been manipulated by a slick rebel PR machine controlled by jihadis. Joshua Landis is director of Middle East Studies at the University of Oklahoma. Anytime there's a war, Josh, there's going to be propaganda. Can you take us step by step through what we've heard out of Syria and Aleppo specifically? The rebels, to start with, their disunity is well known. So how united were they, especially in this past month?
Well, it's a very complex picture. And, you know, what people are complaining about today is the black and white situation. And, of course, you've got a government offensive trying to take back eastern Aleppo, which had hundreds of thousands of people in it and lots of fighters, over 10,000 fighters, according to the UN special envoy to Syria. But one third of those fighters, perhaps, were al-Qaeda fighters, according to the same UN envoy. And that's the difficulty right there.
So there were jihadis among the rebels in Aleppo, but not all rebels were jihadis, if we can put it that way. Is that right?
That is absolutely correct. Now, many of the citizens that were there in eastern Aleppo, some of them never wanted to get into this war to begin with. Aleppo, interestingly enough, did not rise up and join the uprising in 2011. The rebels, who were mostly from the countryside around outside of Aleppo, were furious at Aleppans for not joining in the fight. Ultimately, they had to penetrate into these neighborhoods and take them over, which they did. It's a very complicated situation where some of the civilians support the rebels, others do not.
So which group of rebels succeeded in telling the most kind of convincing story?
Well, it's the opposition outside of Syria, really, that has been able to get video and put it in this narrative of the hateful regime and Russia, who have no regard for humanity, destroying democracy-loving people. And there's an element of truth to that, but it's much more complicated, as I've just explained.
Mm. I mean, a black and white situation, isn't that what players in wartime ultimately want? We're the bad guys, they're the good guys, or vice versa?
They do. They do want that. And they're getting it to a certain degree.
I mean, we've heard at least three activists start using the phrase, it's doomsday, on the same day last week. So let's talk about the activists. Is it plausible that at least some of them were working from a script?
Yes. There is a general campaign that's being waged by media-savvy people in the West that are trying to help package this. It doesn't mean that the horrors of the war in Syria are untrue. It just reveals the much more complicated story that every civil war really reveals.
But when it comes to Syria, the Trump campaign agrees with Russia that the government of President Bashar al-Assad is simply fighting terrorists. I mean, that is very black and white. What are your concerns
it
about
is.
That?
It's too,
lack of nuance.
It's too black and white. You know, the Assad regime is very oppressive. And we've seen with Saddam Hussein, with the regime in Afghanistan, with Gaddafi, that these dictatorships have a dark, dark underbelly. Now, America doesn't like it and they want to promote democracy. But getting rid of these fragile states, we have seen, does not bring better government by and large. It creates a very fragmented society where civil wars can go on for a long time. And the United States has spent the last 6 years trying to unify the Syrian opposition. There are still well over 1,000 militias based on clan, family, tribe. This is not George Washington uniting the 13 states to get freedom from evil Britain. This is a much more complicated story.
After Aleppo, Josh, are there any good rebels left?
You know, I'm sure there are tons of good rebels. And, you know, each one of them may be good in their own way. The problem is the weight of the rebellion shifts from Aleppo to Idlib province. And Idlib province is the home and is dominated by al-Qaeda and other Salafist and jihadist groups. And it's going to be very difficult for the United States to shift its allegiances from Aleppo to Idlib. In Aleppo, there were moderate militias that America had been training and dealing with for years. But in Idlib, there are not.
Joshua Landis, Director of Middle East Studies at the University of Oklahoma. Thank you as always.
Pleasure.